Next Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Earlier in August, the Wall Street Journal headline, Iran slows buildup of uranium needed for weapons. Subhead, Lawrence Norman reporting. Steps to ease tensions as Iran releases four U.S. citizens from prison. I welcome Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to help me understand what this headline means technically, because this is about weapons-grade uranium almost, and the building of a bomb almost, and how many bombs almost, in the negotiation between the United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran, involving, of course, the watchful eyes of our European partners and the United Nations. Andrea, very good evening to you. The citizens released from Iran prisons were not part of the conversation about weapons-grade uranium, if I understand correctly. So even though the headline seems to put them all together, we're putting the prisoners over here. They're now released. We're concentrating on weapons-grade uranium. Some technical details. 114.1 kilograms of 60% enriched uranium is now in the possession of the Islamic Republic. What does that mean, Andrea? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. So what happened in the spring is the Biden administration reached some kind of informal understanding with Iran that they could exchange prisoners. But first, Iran had to take some steps in the right direction on its nuclear program. So in particular, they asked for Iran to reduce some of their 60% enriched uranium stocks. The Wall Street Journal reports that Iran may have reduced part of this stockpile that it had made since May, which is when the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, had last reported this figure. It's unclear thus far whether the current total of the stockpile falls underneath the May quantity. That was 114 kilograms at the time, or enough for almost three nuclear weapons. So the IAEA will issue new figures as soon as this week or next, and that comes ahead of the September 11th IAEA board meeting.
All right. Now, 60%, you make clear in your article for FDD, is dangerous. Why? Because to get to weapons-grade uranium is, from the visual clues you give us in the article, is a hop, not even a skip and a jump, hop. Do I read that correctly? 60 to 90 goes very fast.
That's right. So Iran has the potential to make weapons-grade uranium for up to eight nuclear weapons as of May figures. The administration sees the 60% stock as threatening, mostly symbolically, because it could be used directly in a nuclear explosive. If the Iranians wanted to, they wouldn't have to enrich that material to 90%, which is weapons grade, if they were in a rush. And if they did, it would only take a few days or a few weeks to get to 90%. But the point that I make in the FDD piece is that enriching from 60% to 90% is nearly the same amount of effort as going from 5 or 20% to 90%. And this is because, not to get too technical, but the smaller amount of material you are working with as you enrich to higher and higher levels means you've done most of the work once you go to 5% enrichment. And another point is that Iran will retain the 5% and 20% enriched uranium stocks, also 2% enriched stocks. All these stocks will grow in the months ahead, so it's really unclear whether we're getting much restraint out of Iran's potential breakout time. And that's known as the amount of time it would take to make weapons-grade uranium. So we may not see much of a reduction in their breakout capability with the new reporting.
One step back from the enriched uranium stockpiles. The enrichment is done in cascades of very sophisticated equipment at various sites around Iran. The one I remember is Natanz, but there are others. There's Fordo. Is anyone from outside Iran observing these cascades, observing this enrichment? Do we have independent authority?
We do, thankfully. The IAEA has access to Iran's three enrichment facilities, and it carries out inspections periodically, and it measures the enrichment level and the stockpiles that Iran has. So then it gives everyone, the international community and expert commentators, a basis to understand how far along they are, and then, you know, whether they're undertaking any sort of reductions according to some unwritten deal with the Biden administration.
Does that mean that we know at any given time, we as in IAEA, speaking for the UN, but communicating to the U.S., at any given time, what the 60% stockpile, how much it is, how much is the 2, the 5, and the 20? We know that all the time, and we trust those numbers?
More or less, we know it. Pretty much, I think every few days, few weeks, they'll visit and carry out an inspection and check the inventories. So that is something that we can rely on. That's actually a commitment Iran makes as part of the non-proliferation treaty. It has to adhere to IAEA safeguards, and that's part of its fundamental nuclear safeguards agreement.
Now, at the same time, I've been going through these steps, this conversation, the agreement between the administration and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Money changed hands. Money from South Korea, money from Iraq. $16 billion in Iranian assets was returned to Tehran. Did that have anything to do with what we've been discussing, weapons-grade uranium or a plan to weapons-grade?
Well, based on the media reporting, Wall Street Journal and others, the administration told Iran that they need to see a sign of them stepping back from the nuclear threshold in terms of their 60% enriched uranium stock, that they needed to slow their deployment of advanced centrifuges, which enrich uranium, and that they're supposed to cooperate with the IAEA on the UN watchdog's probe into undeclared nuclear weapons-related work at two sites. We may see how all that shakes out very soon with the new reporting. So the administration cannot make any kind of nuclear deal with Iran per U.S. law unless they submit it to Congress for review. So that is why they're keeping these informal nuclear understandings separate. They say this money going to Iran is just magically not part of anything related to the nuclear effort. And then the prisoner swap, that's separate. That involves some $6 billion coming from South Korea, which the administration openly says will go to Qatar, and it will be held in escrow, and then Iran can only use it for humanitarian purposes. And unfortunately, we know that money is fungible. So, right. You know, $6 billion that they don't have to use for national needs, they can use for terrorism.
You recommend snapback of the UN sanctions and also the demand that the regime halt all enrichment and return what it has now. Is that enforceable by any international body or the U.S.?
Well, what we can do is we can ask for the snapback of UN sanctions at the Security Council. This can't be blocked by Russia or China. So we would be restoring the international prohibition that countries passed from 2006 to 2010 against Iran enriching uranium. And in order to get real meaningful progress on the nuclear issue, unless Iran gets rid of its enrichment infrastructure, I don't think we should be giving them any sanctions relief, because all of this is really something they can scale up for nuclear blackmail at any certain time. October is an important date because the UN missile and drone embargo is set to expire. And unless we restore the sanctions under the UN Security Council, then we're going to see more mayhem from Iran and Ukraine as they arm Russia. So I think all of this is shaping to come to a head, and the administration needs to get on the right side of history.
Andrea Stricker, Research Fellow, Deputy Director of the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.